And I had a moment of like, is that the sermon? It's just that. Is that the sermon? It is the sermon. It's good to see everybody here this morning. You're not still in your turkey comas. I hope everybody got to experience a little bit of a turkey coma. I hated to hear that Will did not. Maybe he can pick up some extra this afternoon sometime. It's good to see everybody here. It's good to be here to worship together. We're going to start something different this morning. We're going to continue Christ in the Old Testament on the Sunday nights that I speak. And we'll pick up in Joshua, I think, the next time we do that. But I think I've got ADHD, and I need to keep moving to something different. And I plan to do this anyway. I plan to be at this point anyway before September happened. So this is really me just getting back on my schedule that nobody else knows but me, and it bothers me to no end. And so anyway, we're caught up, and two in a row, right? And probably shouldn't say that because that'll probably jinx it, but if I make it three in a row, that's a streak, and that's a good thing. That's what I'm looking for. Again, this morning we're going to start a different series. We're going to go all the way through Christmas. Start from a story from a book that Dad has in there on the shelf that's called Then Sings My Soul: Stories of the World's Greatest Hymns. And I usually use those sometimes when we would have singing nights, steal some of those stories to use for sermons. Probably every preacher has that book. And I know that I've told this story before, and every preacher that you ever heard has probably told this story. But it's a great story, and it's worth telling again. When the great Chicago fire burned Chicago down in 1871, Horatio G. Sanford, say that again, Horatio G. Spafford, was an attorney, and he was heavily invested in real estate, and he lost a fortune. And right around the same time, his only son was about 5 years old, 4 years old at the time, contracted scarlet fever, and he died. And that's sort of the 1-2 punch that kind of knocks people out of life sometimes, right? Sometimes knocks them out of faith. Horatio did not run from God. He actually drowned his grief in helping people, in rebuilding the city of Chicago, in helping 100,000 people who had been left homeless. In November of 1873, he decided to take his wife and his daughters on a vacation to Europe. He'd gotten very close to the preacher D.L. Moody and Ira Sankey, and he wanted to go over to England to hear one of their meetings, and again, just to rest. There happened to be an urgent business matter that popped up in New York, and so he sent his wife Anna and their four daughters, Maggie, Tanetta, Annie, and Bessie, on ahead of him. He settled them down in the cabin on some French ship that I can't even begin to pronounce the name. And he got an uneasy feeling, and so he moved them a little closer to the bow of the ship. And then he told them, I'll join you soon. And in the early hours of November 22nd, 1873, that ship was gliding smoothly over the Atlantic when suddenly it collided into an iron sailing vessel. And water started pouring in like Niagara. And you could hear the screams and the prayers and the panic, and within 2 hours, that ship disappeared under the water. 226 people died, among them all four of the Spafford daughters. Anna was found, his wife, unconscious, clinging to a piece of wreckage. And when she finally got to Cardiff, Wales, England, she sent her husband a telegram with two words: saved alone. So Horatio gets on the next ship, and somewhere over the Atlantic, the captain calls to him to the deck, and he says, "Mr. Spafford, by my best calculations, this is where your daughters went down." And it was that night in his cabin, he couldn't sleep, and as out of grief, he said to himself, "Somehow, it is well. It is well, the will of God be done." And from that moment on, we have been singing, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot,
thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Now that is not a song of somebody whose life has went great. That is a song of somebody whose God is great, right? That's a man who said, my circumstances are not well, but my soul is. Some of us are there right now, right? So some of us are in a season where you don't need some cute story, you don't need some platitudes. You need God to carry you. You need faith that can stand in the middle of grief, in the middle of this time of year, right? With all the pretty lights, because Christmas is like that, isn't it? It's this dichotomy, it's this season of contrasts. That you can drive through town and see all the lights up and people are smiling and music is playing and you think, man, I love this time of year. But man, that very same week, maybe even the next 5 minutes, you get a diagnosis. Somebody spends their first holidays without their dad. Somebody can't afford gifts. Somebody sits in a quiet house that used to be so loud. Same season, right? Two realities, joy and sorrow, light and heaviness. And so here's the question. Is it well with your soul? Not is it well with your job or with your bank account or even with your body? Is it well with your soul? Because Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 4:16, so we don't lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Now I know that first part is true for all of us. Our outer self is wasting away. We all get that, right? We can look in the mirror and go, yeah, that is happening. We get winded faster, can't lift what we used to lift, bones pop for no reasons. We sit weird and we get sore for 3 days, right? Things can happen pretty quick to us. But that second part, that's the part I'm not sure I'm experiencing, that we're all experiencing. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. Ask yourself, is it? Is your soul getting fresher day by day? Or is it getting more tired? Now, if we get a little bit more personal for a minute, and I don't really like to do that from up here because I might turn into a big baby. But I've had some health issues the last couple of months, and I did not ask for any of them, right? I didn't sign up for them. Those are things that I didn't want. And now there are things that I used to be able to do with ease that I just can't do, I hope, right now. I can't go at the same speed. I can't ignore rest when I get tired. There's no just push through that tiredness. When I'm done now, I guess I'm just done. And to tell you the truth, that really makes me mad. And it doesn't necessarily make me mad at God, really. But it does make me mad at the situation. It makes me mad that my body won't listen. It makes me mad that I can't do the things that I always had. Mad that everybody else can go at the same speed and I have to hit pause. Got to lean on something, right? You have to learn something. And I'll tell you that staying angry has not done anything for my body. It has done everything except be productive, right? It's been counterproductive to do what God wants to do with my soul. Anger has not healed me. Anger has not made my heart any better. It's just made my soul tired. Right? And so you got to reconcile that somehow. You got to say, okay, God, if my outer self is wasting away, then I'm going to lean harder in the fact that you are renewing my inner self. Because maybe, and maybe this is the hardest part to say, maybe limitation is a gift somehow. That the slowdown is a gift, that maybe all of us need to hear that a little bit. That we've all been so busy either trying to get a body back or a job back or our kids back or our money back, that we forget that God is trying to get our souls back. And then John writes this prayer in 3 John 1:2. He says, Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health, and it goes as it goes well with your soul. As it goes well with your soul. Now think about that just for a second. Most of us, if we think about that, don't want anybody to pray that over us. Because if God lined up everything else in our life with the current condition of my soul, I think some of us might be in trouble. If I said, Lord, make my finances go just like my soul is going. Or Lord, make that marriage go just like her soul is going. Would you want that prayer? So the next few weeks, that's sort of what we'll talk about. Is it well with your soul? Because God made us body and soul on purpose, right? And we certainly check our body a whole lot more than we check our soul. We know our blood pressure, but what we don't know are our bitterness level. We know our A1Cs, but do we know our contentment? We can count our steps, but we don't count on hope a whole lot. And our souls were made to live in the presence of God. David would write in Psalms 42, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before you? Our souls are made thirsty for God. That's why you can have everything else and still feel empty. That's why people with money are still anxious. That's why people with good jobs can still be lonely. That's why sometimes people, when they retire, are still restless, because the soul only rests in God. And we live in a world right now that has normalized a way of living that is toxic to our souls. We're constantly outraged. We are constantly comparing. There's constant noise. There's constant screams. Every crisis is your crisis. Every fight is your fight. Every opinion is your burden. And we wonder, why? Why am I so tired? And the truth is we've been carrying the whole internet on a soul that was designed to carry a single cross. And so Christ steps in, gracious and gentle and kind. And he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. It's not a nap, not a vacation, not 5 minutes, not let me push a little bit further. And for a lot of Christians, it's not that we don't love Jesus, right? It's not that we aren't renewing necessarily. We're just not doing a whole lot that puts life back in. If all we do is scroll and complain and worry, we're withdrawing from our souls every day and never depositing. So I'll just wrap this up with, I think, four soul-renewing practices that we can do that aren't fancy. And the first one is just spend some unhurried time with God. Not I read a verse, I would say 10 or 15 minutes of unrushed minutes where you just spend with God, not producing, not solving problems, not posting, you're just present. I think honest laments and open confessions. I think you can tell God when you're sad. I think you can tell God when you're mad. But when you're disappointed that you can't do the things you can do, used to do, God can fix confessed pain. I don't know what he does with hidden pain. I think you need to be with life-giving people. Not everybody is good for your soul. That's not new news to you, right? You know this. Some people drain you. Some people fill you. In this season, you need Spafford people around, right? People who can sing in the storm. I think being here, weekly worship, Sabbath. Even if you can't take a full day, take the posture of today I receive, right? Today I rest. Today I remember that I don't work for Pharaoh and God is not asking for more bricks. Because as we've talked about, right? Some of us, even though we're not out of Egypt, Egypt didn't get out of us. And so we still think, I am what I produce. We still think rest is laziness. We think God loves me when I am busy. I wish I had a buzzer that went, right? That's wrong. God loved Israel before they built the tabernacle. God loved Horatio Spafford before he wrote the hymn. God loves you when you can't do what you used to do. And just say something else since we're here. What if he doesn't fix it, right? What if God doesn't bring the health back all the way to where you want it? What if the marriage isn't restored this Christmas? What if the grief is still there? Can it still be well with your soul? And I hope you know that the answer is yes. If well doesn't mean everything goes my way, but God is with me in everything. That's what Horatio Spafford believed. That's what the Apostle Paul believed. That's what Jesus invites us into, because when he says, come to me, all who labor, he's talking to an exhausted, religious, overworked, soul-tired people. He's talking to people that are just like us. So this morning, as we finish up, here's the invitation. If your soul is not well, if your body has betrayed you, if you're angry about your limitations, if this season is beautiful and heavy, and if you're tired of pretending that you're fine, let Jesus shepherd your soul. Let the church pray over you. Let somebody put their hand on your shoulder. Let the outward wasting away drive you towards the inner renewing. And maybe in time we can be just like Horatio Spafford and say what he said over the place where his daughters went down. That it is well. The will of God be done. And you'll be able to sing, not because your life is perfect, right? But because your soul is held. And so this morning, if you need to be baptized, the baptismal waters are ready. If you need the prayers of this congregation, again, the time is now as we stand and sing, It Is Well With My Soul.